The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. So there he was, 12 years old, making probably his first trip to Jerusalem for the Passover, because at age 12, Jesus had been bar mitzvahed. He was considered a man, and it was his duty as a faithful Jew to observe all the festivals, the ordinances of the Jewish calendar. He was there with Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his stepdad, whom he thought of, and Mary thought of, as Jesus' father, his earthly father. But they were in Jerusalem, they observed the Passover, and then when the feast was ending, off they go, back to Nazareth. They were in a big group of people, the men and journeyed in a separate group from the women, and the younger children could be either with the men or the women. At any rate, it was only at the end of the day that they noticed Jesus wasn't around. So they searched for him among their relatives and acquaintances, going through the caravan of people heading back to Galilee. And when they couldn't find him, they must have thought, we left him behind in Jerusalem. So they returned to Jerusalem and began looking for him in earnest. And after 3 days, and I don't think that number 3 is an accident, after 3 days, it's kind of like Jesus is resurrected to them, and they found him. Of all places, they found him in the temple. In the temple, the house of God. And what was Jesus doing there? Was he admiring the architecture? Was he playing games with a group of street urchins from Jerusalem? He didn't have any electronic devices to play on. What was he doing there? Was he talking about sports? No. The amazing thing is this 12-year-old was sitting among the teachers of the law, and he was listening to them. He was listening to them attentively, and he was asking them questions, showing that he was involved in the discussion. Imagine this, a 12-year-old who is paying attention to God's holy word and shows his knowledge of that word by the questions he asks and the answers he gives. And all of these teachers of the law, men who had studied the scriptures for decades, were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was precocious beyond his years, Jesus was. And how can that be? Now, put a 12-year-old in confirmation class and they might be saying, well, how much longer till we can leave? It may be difficult to get their attention at the first of the class. You may have to corral them in, rope them in to get them to pay attention, but not Jesus. And you know why that is. It is because even though our Lord Jesus Christ was a true human being, he was a true 12-year-old boy. He was nonetheless God in the flesh. Joseph was not his true father, as we know, and as we'll see later on in today's gospel reading. He was eternally begotten by God the Father. He was very God of very God, light of light, being of one substance with the Father, begotten, not made. As the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus is the one who, you could say, wrote the Old Testament scriptures that he was discussing with the teachers of the law. And most certainly we can say this, that our Lord Jesus Christ was the subject, the center, the focus of those Old Testament scriptures. There he was, the author of the scriptures, the one whom the scriptures were about, discussing those scriptures with the experts. And they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. It is significant that all this takes place in the temple of Jerusalem. All this takes place where sacrifices were offered to atone for the sins of the Jewish people. All this took place in this magnificent structure in which God dwelt, in the Holy of Holies, behind the veil of the curtain separating the holy place from the most holy place. The temple is the meeting place between God and man. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. Think back to the Gospel of John, early on in John's Gospel. Jesus is in Jerusalem again for another Passover. He has begun his ministry. And when he sees that the temple has been given over to merchants selling sacrificial animals, exchanging Roman coins for Jewish coins, when he sees that the Gentiles are no longer able to come into the temple because it is the court of the Gentiles that serves as the marketplace, Jesus becomes incensed. And he overturns the tables of the money changers. And he takes a whip and he drives out the animals. The teachers of the law, the temple officials, the priests, the scribes, the Sadducees are aghast at what Jesus has done. They are appalled. And so they ask him, by what right, by what authority do you do these things? Who are you to come in here and to tell us how we should conduct ourselves in the temple? Jesus does not answer that question, but what he says is highly significant. He turns to them and says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." They think he's crazy. What do you mean you can raise up this temple? How can you do that? It's taken decade upon decade upon decade to get this far, and the temple is still not finished. How can you, a mere man, raise up this temple? And John adds this note. But he was not talking about that earthly temple in Jerusalem. He was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus was prophesying his own resurrection. "Destroy my body," he was saying, "and I will raise it up again in 3 days." You see, it's Jesus who is the true temple of God. It's Jesus who is now the meeting place between God and man, because God becomes man when he assumes flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Where do you meet God? Where Jesus is. Where do you go for the forgiveness of all of your sins? Where Jesus is. Where do you go to hear his word, to receive the gifts of God? Where do you go to offer the triune God your worship and the highest worship of all? Our confessions say, is to receive God's good and gracious gifts. I bet you know the answer. Where you go, to where Jesus is. You see, dear Christian people, this is a temple of God. This edifice. You see, you are a temple of God. You individually, for through holy baptism, the Spirit was placed upon you and dwells within you. And you collectively are the temple of God. All of us together, because again, we are the baptized. We are those who have been washed in Christ's blood. We are those who have been traced with the sign of his cross to mark us as those redeemed by him. We are the ones who confess his name and confess the name of the triune God. We are the ones who gather regularly to hear his holy word and to sing our praises to him and to confess his name and receive the gift of forgiveness that he won for the whole world on the cross. Forgiveness in the absolution. Forgiveness in the preaching of the gospel. As you hear that for Christ's sake, your sins are indeed forgiven, and you can meet God. You can come before him. There is no sin to keep you away from him, because Jesus has taken away all of your sins on the cross. And you can come as you are instructed in what it is that Jesus gives to this altar to receive the body sacrificed for you on the cross and the blood shed for you to cleanse you of your sins. This building, this house of worship, this Mount Olive Lutheran Church, and you, the people of God, are the temple of God. But the holy place, the most holy place, is right there before your eyes. The altar adorned for the Christmas season, the elements of bread and wine, which at Jesus' words will be consecrated and become vehicles by which he places his body and his blood into your mouth. We're told in the Gospels that when Jesus gave up his spirit, there was a great earthquake and the veil of the temple was torn in two. This veil of the temple was a thick curtain. As I recall, it was something like 8 inches thick, maybe even more. Now, this is not something you could take with your hands and rend apart. But the veil of the temple that separated the people from the most holy place was torn when Jesus died. The way into the most holy place was opened for sinners. Why? Because Jesus, the one who is in the temple at age 12, had completed his work of redemption It is finished, he said. It is accomplished. He has accomplished, completed, fulfilled, done everything to save you. So you do not save yourself. You cannot possibly do the work. And why would you want to, since Jesus has done it for you? Hebrews says that that veil which was torn is his holy flesh. And now you can come before God freely, boldly, with confidence. You can come before God knowing that he does not judge you, he does not condemn you, but rather he forgives you and welcomes you and calls you his dear child for the sake of this Jesus. All who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers, and his parents were astonished. And Mary said, "Well, son, why have you treated us like this? Behold, your father, Joseph, and I have been searching for you in great distress." And as Jesus does several times in the Gospels, he gently puts Mary in her place. "Why were you looking for me?" he said. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" His heavenly Father, the one of whom he is eternally begotten. "Mother, remember how the angel of the Lord appeared to you and told you that the favor of the Lord was upon you? Remember how the angel spoke these words, saying that you would conceive and bear a son who would be the Son of the Most High God, who would inherit his father David's throne, the Christ? Remember how you asked, 'How can this happen, since I do not know a man? I am a virgin.' And the angel said to you, 'Behold, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son.' Remember how the shepherds came and told of the visions of angels that had told them, had informed them that the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, would be found in a stable, lying in a manger. There was a temple where Jesus was. Remember, Mother, I am the promised one. I am the Son of my heavenly Father, and I must be where he is, and where I am, he is." And as an alternate translation says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Twice we're told in Luke's gospel that Mary hears something and then treasures the things she has heard, ponders them in her hearts. And that's what you and I are to do as the Holy Christian Church. Mary is an example to us, a model for us. Mary says, after the angel tells her that she is going to conceive and bear the Christ, "Let it be to me according to your word." So as Christians, as the church, we treasure up all these things about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, his presence among us in word and sacrament. And we come gladly to the most holy place to receive the gift of his body and his blood, conceived by the Holy Spirit and offered up on the cross to take away all of my sins and all of your sins. Forgiven sinners are welcome in this temple. Thanks be to God in Christ our Savior. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.